Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
What's up, you guys? Sean Ross Sapp. This is May 3rd, 2023. Welcome to Fightful, specifically our post-AEW review. If you're new here, we're here every night after Raw, after SmackDown, after NXT, after Dynamite, Rampage, ROH Impact, all that good stuff. We are here this Saturday after Backlash, but not just here on YouTube.com/Fightful, where you should be leaving a thumbs up and subscribing. We're over on FightfulSelect.com, the best $5 in the business. Alex Palowski will be there on Saturday as well with a pay-per-view review. He was there Monday. He'll be there Friday. Lots of goodies over there. Alex, how you doing?
I'm doing very, very well. Very happy for a now former colleague. And now I get to blame him for everything bad that happens on AEW. I can't wait. That should be fun.
Actually this is a lot of fun.
There's something developing out of this show that might be my favorite thing AEW's done in like years, depending on how they handle it, but I'm so
Jeff
excited.
Jeff Jarrett in a tag title match.
It's Satnam Singh in overalls.
That was legitimately and objectively hilarious to me.
It was.
I found actually. That amazing. Yep. Mm-hmm. I'll tell you what else I found amazing. We had teased it since last week, and we had a big update on FightfulSelect.com. I will read directly from that. Please subscribe to FightfulSelect.com. It's the best $5 in the business. You get exclusive news stories at least a couple times a day, up to 40 podcasts a month as well. Just $5. It would mean an awful lot to us. But this evening, Will Washington was announced as the newest signing of All Elite Wrestling. Will Washington of Fightful and Grapsody, well, formerly of. Now, Grapsody will continue Saturdays mm-hmm. with Righteous Reg and Phil Lindsay. I'm so happy to keep them involved. I know that they had thoughts about it and stuff, and they felt like they should continue this show. But I'm going to read Tony Khan's specific tweet. And guys, remember, leave a thumbs up, get your super chats in, get your humper chats in. We would greatly appreciate that. That's how you get your question or statement read on the air. But he says, he's the new AEW Wrestling Administration Coordinator, working in many areas of wrestling, live events, social media, creative, PR. He has a great wrestling mind. He's here backstage tonight at Wednesday Night Dynamite live on TBS. And it's official, Will Washington is All Elite. Now, I did Will Washington's last episode of Day After Dynamite last week. I was made aware of this early last week, and I'll give you guys a little bit of background. As recently as 2 weeks ago, Will said, hey, what are your plans for the Collision post shows? And I said, friend, it is yours if you want it. And I didn't hear back from him. And I said, it's not that unusual to not hear back from Will. Sometimes a little slow to respond, but
yeah.
That specifically, I figured he'd want to lock down. And then we have a conversation a couple days, and I want to say he was being courted by another wrestling website as well, which I was very happy he didn't go to. But he told me that it was a very, very, very real possibility that he goes to All Elite Wrestling. And Will has been very candid about how the last 5 or 6 months have been for him. He spoke about that. About losing his day job on Grapsody. And I want to say he handled that with remarkable grace considering the circumstances. And I won't go around the circumstances, but had it been me, had it been done at that point in time, I would have thrown a goddamn hissy fit over the circumstances. And yeah. He was a man, and he handled it with style and grace. And I just respect this guy so much. And a few years ago, I met Will Washington in person in Denver. We had known each other for a little while, but I was there on a vacation. And Will helped lighten up a very awkward situation. And I just spent some time with him. And I was like, man, this is the type of guy I want to work with. This is a guy that I want as a part of this team. This is a person that I want to be a part of what Fightful is. And I was like, one day, I hope that works. And within a few months, he called me up and he pitched Grapsody to me. I have been pitched over the last few years, at least 300 podcasts at a bare minimum. This is the only one that I left the immediate conversation and said, yep, this is going to work. When you're starting a thing like that, you wonder who the personalities are. Will Washington, Righteous Reg, Phil Lindsay. Well, I was familiar with all them, and I knew that they were going to cultivate the right type of environment and the right type of audience that we wanted. They're good people, and they do good work.
Yep.
And I knew, first off, the show's going to make money. We're not going to be costed. We're not going to be going into a hole because of these guys and their show. We knew it was going to make money. And it blew away expectations. Grapsody is one of the greatest wrestling podcasts in the history of wrestling podcasts. And we have been so fortunate to have it, and we're so fortunate to get to keep it. And Will Washington has such a brilliant wrestling mind. And I have had the good fortune of being able to see some of that wrestling mind when we have conversations, especially his encyclopedic wrestling knowledge and his recall and his memory and all that wonderful stuff. And he said, you know, I think I'm going to have a role similar to that of Rob Fee in WWE. That's the way it was kind of put to me. And I said, God damn, that would be phenomenal. I had actually mentioned that to people within AEW. I was like, you know, I think this guy would be really good for a variety of roles. As recently as Indianapolis, I had AEW talent that said, man, I wish we had Will Washington on our team. And I said, yeah, you do wish you had him on your team.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it didn't take him long to get him on their team. And well-deserved. This guy works so hard. He does things the right way. And I am so proud of him. He's going to have his hands in a lot of stuff. And I will address, I don't want to say an elephant in the room, but I did post this on Select. And I want to make this clear here. Will's time as a Fightful contributor, as a podcaster, and as a newsbreaker, because he's done plenty of that, is over for now. Will and I are still friends. We're always going to be friends. I love that guy. He's wonderful. And anybody that has had those spots, including Denise at ROH or NXT, knows I would never put them in a position to where they are asked something by me like that. Because especially when they worked directly with Fightful. And that's something that you know, we don't step on. But Will is actually specifically contractually prohibited from providing us proprietary information about AEW. It's like specifically outlined in that. But I think there's a good chance, like if Will does media interviews, I would hope that we're at the top of the list, specifically Grapsody. Yes. I said, you know what? If AEW wins an award next year, you damn well better be here to accept it, because Will Washington is a big reason we did those awards. Like, and he did so much work for them as well. I'm just so goddamn proud of this guy, man. And Alex, I know you've got to appear with him here and there, but I'd love to hear your thoughts.
Well, I mean, I wish I'd actually had a chance to do more with him on the air, but
too bad.
Always, yeah, I know it's over now. Woulda, coulda, shoulda. I always enjoyed listening to him on Grapsody and Day After Dynamite. The thing he has a ridiculous recall for wrestling stuff. Like he would be able to, oh no, that wasn't there, that was at this one in 2008, And that was the thing. And I believe that match lasted 12 minutes and 42 seconds. And it was actually one with not a schoolboy. It was a different kind of roll up. Like he's so, and the thing of it is that, this is great for somebody like me who watches wrestling to have somebody like that in a position like this on a show that I watch, because I know he will remember the stuff that happened 6 weeks, 6 months, yes, a year and a half ago, and be able to make sure things don't contradict, make sure there's consistency in the storytelling, and maybe even reference cool moments that happened a while ago in a promo tonight that'll make us all go, oh, cool, they're paying attention. That's the thing I love the most, is being able to pick those things out. And I think Will be a natural at it. It is richly deserved for Will, mm-hmm, and AEW made a home run hire. Like it'll be mutually beneficial to both of them. Like there's not a better guy for this kind of thing than Will, and AEW is going to be perfect for it.
So, I mean, AEW has largely had wrestling people, and I mean people from within the industry, as a part of their company. Like in WWE, they brought in Rob Fee, and they bring in outside people all the damn time, like on their writing team and stuff like that. But this is uncharted territory for AEW, mm-hmm, and I had a conversation with him, and I said, you know what? Some people will probably give you the look like, well, this dirt sheet guy. Like, I get the feeling Max Caster is probably still going to look at him like that based on his reaction there. But I know that Will has the most disarming personality, mm-hmm, possible. Like he's so, if you have a conversation with Will Washington and you walk away from it mad, well, then you're the asshole.
Yeah.
You're the jerk there. Yep. I want to get right into the super chats and humper chats. Bless this man for making us some money one last time. Trey Cash, always generous to us, saying, after seeing Will's All Elite graphic, it's so much easier to accept him not being a part of Fightful. So proud of that man. All I need now is Alex Yas graphic with a picture of him in the leather pants with the Yas logo, and the universe will be balanced. I would love that. I think that would be great. That's why last week, if you saw me on Day After Dynamite, I was just over the moon, man. I was just so happy. I shed tears of joy for Will Washington. I shed tears, mm-hmm, of joy for AEW in this situation, because I know the kind of guy they're getting.
Yep.
I did drop Tony Khan a message, and I was like, listen, man, you got a good one. Also, please hire Jeremy Lambert so you can get him the hell away from me. That would be nice, too. And I got a thank you and a be careful what you wish for. I'm very proud of Will. And Will knows very, very well that we will be fair, mm-hmm, on these reviews. I think he also knows that Alex Pawlowski can't be anything but a little bit curmudgeonly at best. But as
I'm honest. I am honest to a fault about what I like and don't like. So, you know, I'll try and go easy on Will. I will.
No, don't go easy on Will. No. Just remember, when anything bad happens, it's Will's fault.
That's true. That's true.
It is always Will's fault. Mm-hmm. We love Will. And again, this is going to be great for him. I'm really excited. Alexander Fitzgerald says, if Punk versus Omega or Punk versus the Elite happens, it's because of Will Washington. Jelly Canuck says, Will is going to do great. He is going to do great. Brent says, step one of Will taking AEW over, in a bloodless kindness. Let me see what this says. It cut off. Oh, based coup. So proud of the dude. The Real Nerd says, congrats to Will Washington on being All Elite. We'll miss seeing him on Grapsody, but happy for his success. People have been asking about the Day After Dynamite thing. We'll probably just leave that spot open, mm-hmm, because that's three streams in a day. So in the event that I ever have a breaking news show, or we have a prediction show we need to do, or we need to slot in an interview or something, that gives us some flexibility. But when Will Washington wanted to do a show on Thursdays, I ain't saying no to Will Washington.
No.
When Jeremy Lambert and Steven Jensen want to do a show on Thursdays, I'm not saying no to them. And when ROH kicks off, well, I felt like that was a perfect opportunity to get some more people on the air there. So we're going to leave that spot open. Grapsity continues as scheduled. with Reg and Phil. Sometimes they'll have guests. Sometimes it'll just be them. James Stallings says, so happy for Will, man. Just shows everything happens for a reason. It does happen for a reason. Mm-hmm. Things worked out very, very well for Will and all that he went through. And he's got a wonderful family and surrounds himself with wonderful people. And nobody deserves it more. Shot Kid says, Will's job sounds like he's going to be one of TK's go-to guys akin at QT Marshall. Is that a fair comparison? I would say yes. I would say a little more akin to Pat Buck, but yes, very similarly to that of what we know of QT Marshall. I do think it'd be very funny if Will started to show up in the background of QTV as their dirt sheet guy. That could be good.
That'd be good.
That would be good. Yeah. Jake Sarzar says, I legit teared up when I saw that on Twitter after what Will said on Grapsity about opening up on about his life and all that man, I was so happy to see him get what he deserves. Everything good that comes his way, I know he'll do great. He will do great. He's just the right person for this, and he's well-liked, and anybody there. I mean, I'll be honest with you guys. Like, when he told me he had been talking to another website, I was like, well, I don't like that. I don't like that one bit. Like, because I believe he can do everything that I do and do it just as well. And I'd rather have that as part of my team. But if he's going to AEW, I see that as a graduation. I am selfishly incredibly happy for him.
Yep.
Just, man, Eloquent says, can't wait till we see Will on VTE. I would love it if he played a dirt sheet guy on VTE. He like, he's just hiding behind stuff and feeding me news. Tom LaValle says
he should wear one of those hats with a little thing that says press stuck in the band, you know, like be an old timey journalist.
Tom LaValle says when something goes wrong on the Bleacher Report app, blame Doc Mueller. When something goes wrong in AEW, we can now blame Cal California. Jaden Fox says, are we sure it's only Will's cousin that's named Swerve? His Grapsity farewell had me choked up, but I love him getting such great opportunities.
Yeah.
I mean, I can tell you guys immediately. I'm going to start saying, when can we get media interviews? when can we get you on the air? When can that happen?
Yeah.
Ricardo says, big ups to Will. His success is well deserved. I had somebody on Twitter that was like, oh, well, now WWE is going to be worried that all their news is going to AEW because of him. And I was like, as opposed to what? My Patreon? Like, why do you think that's more profitable? I've heard so many weird things about like the business model over the last day. People are like, gotta have that WWE access. I hate to tell you guys, our WWE interviews do between 600 to 1200 views. That makes us about 32 cents. Yeah. We make a lot more money reporting things that AEW and WWE don't want us to report.
That's true.
We're just too damn big to ignore now. Oh, man.
That is true as well.
Shot Kid says, Will Washington getting the graphic before RJ City?
Hey, guys. Have you ever wondered what happened to the legendary Chuck Norris? I saw a video he made and I was shocked. He is in his 80s, still kicking butt, working out, staying active. He looks like he's got more energy, can work out longer, even has plenty of that energy left over for his grandkids, and he did this by making one change. He said that he still feels like he's in his 50s. His wife even started doing this thing too. She's never felt better. She says she feels 10 years younger, her body looks leaner, has energy all day, and Chuck's made a 20-minute video explaining step-by-step how anyone can do this same thing to see incredible changes in their health. Staying active is important. Moving around keeps you feeling good. Making sure that you take care of your gut health, your digestion, just overall, is also very important. Right now, you can go to mymorningkick.com/Fightful. Watch Chuck's video right now. That's mymorningkick.com/Fightful. Check out what Chuck Norris has to say. What's got him feeling so good these days? He explains everything, and you won't believe how simple it is.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
theme proves that TK is a good judge of character. Laughing emoji. Seriously, congrats to Will for somehow stealing a little bit of the thunder from AEW, selling almost 50,000 tickets. Oh, we're about to get into that, too. Mm-hmm. A lot of this show is going to be talking about Will and tickets.
Yeah.
But this morning, I was like, hey, man, hope you made it in good. And he sent me a picture of him eating breakfast with RJ City. And I was like, oh, man, I'm so sorry. Sucks. A rare beast says, I'm so happy for Will Washington. He's going to crush whatever he's doing. Went from bum to excited for him. Hang DAD high in the rafters. Nobody else on Fightful is allowed to have children. Maybe don't hang Day After Dynamite in the rafters yet. Maybe there are some other plans for that along the lines. Maybe. But that's it for the Will Super Chats, Humper Chats for the moment. Go ahead and get those in. We would greatly appreciate it. Meet Normus says, Viva Fightful, Viva Grapsity, Viva Meet Normus. And Adrian Wells sent us. Gifted us 4 memberships. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
All in tickets. Grayman Media says, so AEW got 43,000 tickets for Wembley, yet people are still naysaying. If they get 27,000 more on Friday, how many will suggest AEW will go out of business? The coping that I have seen
so weird
associated with this has been on such a ridiculous level. Not since they actually booked their first show and actually booked a TV slot have I seen more coping, because then they couldn't say the t-shirt company. I see people that are looking at Mike Coppinger's tweet and they're seeing, oh, well, look at him. Look at him. He's saying it's only configured for 40,000. Well, then they've run into trouble because they've already sold 43,000.
3,000 people be standing... standing room only outside the stadium with binoculars or something. That's too bad.
That is just an unbelievable amount of tickets. And I've said this before, Alex, I wouldn't do any other shows in the UK that week. You make this this is how you see AEW in the UK is right here. Mm-hmm. This show, I'm going over to see it. Like I've decided I'm going to go see it. I feel like I need to be there. I feel like I should be. No, same with Money in the Bank. I felt like I needed to be there.
Right.
And this is shaping up before they've announced a thing to be something very special. And Alex, I've mentioned this before. It is in the spirit of All In, because 5 years ago we were talking about, can these guys sell out a 10,000 seat venue outside the auspices of WWE? Now we're talking, can they sell 70, 80, 90,000? How you feeling, Alex?
The first day sales were a wonderful, pleasant surprise. I was thinking maybe they'd do 20, and then they did 35. And then another day, now they're up to 43 total. The tickets go on sale. Tickets go on sale to the public, and they are not until Friday, and they've already sold 43,000.
And they hadn't been advertised on television yet, had they?
Mm-mm. Not that I know of.
Whew.
It is, as you say, you know, to go over there if you can. They haven't advertised it. They don't know. Nobody knows what the hell. I'm sure they know what they'd like to plan for. But that's at the end of August. We're at the very beginning of May. Like, there's a lot of stuff to do between now and then. So you can plan for this kind of thing, but they haven't announced anything because you can't yet, because a lot of stuff that they would, I assume they would want to do for that, you can't even start to build until after Double or Nothing, or probably not until later in the summer. So we assume there's going to be amazing things there that are going to continue to, as these things are announced, people are like, well, I was on the fence, now I gotta go. But just the fact that it is what it is, it's Wembley, it's not WWE. Like in the scope of history, like a non-WWE company, like they've already surpassed like WCW's biggest sale ever, right? Like the Georgia Dome was less than this.
Yeah, sale, yes, because there's Collision in Korea, but that was a whole thing.
Right, that was a whole thing. But like they've already surpassed that. So this is a seminal moment in wrestling history. You could look back on this like and say this was a major event. And it's great for wrestling, like as a whole. whether or not you're a tribalist or whatever. It's great for wrestling as a whole because this means this is a company that's going to be around for the long haul, where people can go and get good jobs and all that. That's awesome. It's always best when all wrestling is thriving, because then all wrestlers can thrive. And that's what we should all be hoping for as fans, that all these people that we love, that we appreciate their work, can have great places. But this is so great for AEW, and it's so great for wrestling as a whole. And I'm very, very excited to see, because now it's like, well, you know, for just throwing out a number, well, we sold 70,000 seats. I guess we better put on a great show, which means we, even not going to see it live in London, but back here in the States and all over the world, will be able to watch an even better show.
Possibly on HBO Max, depending on how this deal comes together, because Andrew Zarian had reported today, a little SOB scooped me, mm-hmm. but Dark and Elevation are ending as a result of this new Collision deal, which mandates that all AEW content is on WBD. I know I am one of a handful of people that watch Dark and Elevation, but I watch Main Event for the love of God. Like, I watch everything, but not going to hate having these off my slate, because there's never been a lot that I needed to watch. Basically, I would watch what indie wrestlers would get offense, and that would kind of lead me to realize who's under a tiered deal, who I needed to ask about. Right. As we reported on FightfulSelect.com, I believe talent will still get those opportunities on ROH, because that is not a part of the deal. But I'm hoping that this is a new all-encompassing WBD deal, where their live events, their special events, are on HBO Max as well. And if I'm AEW, especially if I cater to a young audience, I want to be on the same network as Euphoria and Barry.
Oh, yeah.
And even Succession. I want to be on that, because it has objectively done incredible things for WWE. Whenever I would get those, for background, you guys will notice on FightfulSelect.com, best $5 in the business, subscribe today. I post producer lists and backstage notes. And a lot of times that I will get like gate information and like record setting numbers. A lot of times I will also see on those lists that when they update them, this is the most watched like Royal Rumble ever. Well, that's because it's on Peacock. And a bunch of people that would have never subscribed to WWE Network have access to the Royal Rumble because they're watching Parks and Rec or 30 Rock or some The Office from forever ago, whatever the hell it may be. You want that if you're AEW. So to me, if HBO, Warner, offers you anything even approaching what you were making on pay-per-view, throw it on that $20 a month service and rock with it.
Yep.
Orion Ben says, a lot of folks are looking real ignorant on All In. Wow. Alexander Fitzgerald says, ticket sales are at 43,000. That's half of Wembley sold already just from pre-sale with no matches announced. How many fans do you see them getting? I was guessing 60,000, but I think 70, 80 is possible. I think over 70. I think over 70 at least, because we still got pre-sales to go, and we haven't even hit general on sale.
Right.
I think people underestimate how many people just don't know how to deal with pre-sale stuff and don't want to bother.
Sure.
With it.
Yeah. I do think that that seems to be a fair goal. But I don't know if what people are hoping for comes to pass, you know, and AEW is in the midst of its biggest money feud in its history with CM Punk versus the Elite. I'm not saying those matches would necessarily happen in Wembley, but certainly you could see like a six-man tag happening, if not like the actual Punk versus Kenny thing or whatever, if any of that is actually going to happen. Once those start to be like, holy crap, that's going to be at this thing, they might plateau at around 55, 60. And all of a sudden, when matches start to be announced, either you're going to see an explosion of more tickets being sold, because you don't even know what you're buying a ticket to. You know, you're buying a ticket to a seminal event, but you have no idea what exactly you're going to get to see. And there are a lot of people who will not put down their money until they know at least part of what they're going to see on the card. And once that starts to be announced, then you're going to see people buying tickets.
Parker Hines says, great opportunity for AEW to expand their fan base into Europe. It's a great opportunity for a lot of things.
Yep.
Sawyer says, considering All In and arguably AEW happened because of Dave Meltzer tweet and Cody saying bet, this is the most bittersweet part of Cody's departure, but I'm happy for the exciting year to come. Yeah. I mean, Cody was such a big part of that. Mm-hmm. I wonder how he truly feels about it. And Darren says, got an AEW All In ticket, AEW Fan Fest ticket too. Any advice when I see MJF at a meet and greet in London? Tell him you know me. That will conjure up an interesting response. Tippy Stir says, Will Washington better be a playable character. Fight forever. G Bro wants Reg versus Jeff Jarrett. No DQ confirmed. I would watch that.
Yeah.
Eloquent says, off topic, but so happy to see Trinity on Impact. Me too. I think it's a great fit for her.
Yeah, it really is.
Grayman says, SRS, thoughts on Lamar Jackson getting $260 million in 5 years? He deserves the money. Wish he would have got it somewhere else besides Baltimore. That would have been great for me. Bengals wide receiver 5 had more touchdowns last year than any Ravens receiver. Just want to let you all know that. Sam Roberts, not that one, says, hey, just want to say I finally got a job that lets me support you all. Well, thank you so much. I mean, it means that you will invest in us after just getting that job. Thank you so much. Irene says, ending Elevation and Dark helps AEW not oversaturate their own content, but I'm going to miss Taz and Excalibur together. Can they work on Rampage instead? Yeah, I think so. And we got Jorge Saldivar saying, what happens to Emi Sakura, Nyla Rose, others who get to play only on Dark and Elevation? Well, I think it kind of rectifies itself. Some of them will appear a little bit more on ROH. Some of them will benefit from the likes of Jeff Jarrett and Jay Lethal not being on TV every week, so they'll slide up a little bit more. If I were AEW, what I would do is have Rampage tape before AEW Dynamite 1 week and then before Collision the next, and you can get some of that talent that was on Dark on Rampage as well.
Yeah.
Patrick says, could Cody do All In like Nakamura did Noah? That will not happen. It will absolutely not happen.
Nope.
But I'll tell you what will happen. You'll get this UFC pay-per-view coming up this Saturday at a much better price when you use NordVPN.com/Fightful. Look at Alex. Look at him. He knows right now he can get the fastest VPN in the world with NordVPN. He knows it works on all his devices. He knows that all of his devices are protected. He's got the password manager. He's got the file encryption tool. If he travels, like London, maybe you're going to Toronto for Forbidden Door, just tons of stuff. Tons of stuff. You're going to be protected on that unsecured Wi-Fi, airport, hotel, venue, all that good stuff. They've got 24/7 customer support. This is something I've been pushing hard lately. I've had a lot of you that hit me up, and maybe I'll be in bed or maybe I'll be a little bit busy, but they have 24/7 customer support that are very happy to help you figure out how to use the service if you don't. But you get secure and private access to the internet, protect all your devices. You get a stable and fast connection anywhere. You got some of the best internet luminaries talking about this. You got Philip DeFranco endorsing it. PewDiePie, if you're into him. If you're into PewDiePie, he put it over on NordVPN.com/Fightful. Using a reputable VPN service like NordVPN.com/Fightful is completely safe. If you pay for a reliable provider, you get safe, easy to use, high quality products. But using those free ones, maybe not so safe. Go with NordVPN.com/Fightful. Get those overseas services. Get that UFC pay-per-view at a much more affordable price. Check it out. I guess we probably should talk about Dynamite at some point.
Whatever.
Tyrone Kidd says, Will Washington for the Teddy Long GM of AEW. And Brett Lottman says, Taz and Excalibur need a podcast now. Oral digressions. Oh, we got me, Adam Cole, Orange Cassidy, and Bandido against Yas, Alex.
Yep.
Fair match. You got Jericho wearing the Britt Baker shirt up on the ramp to conjure up an emotion out of Adam Cole. And the match was fine, but I loved the very end of this segment where Adam Cole gets the pin and immediately sprints up the ramp to beat that ass, Alex.
Yeah.
This was phenomenal. First off, Roderick Strong looked great. I want to say that. But Adam Cole didn't look like a stupid ass baby face. He got the win and then he hit the bricks. I want the Bengals to have him replace Trenton Irwin.
Yep.
He ran the 4-2-2-40 all the way up that ramp and whipped that ass. That was phenomenal. I loved it. It made him look so much smarter. Like he had his eyes on the prize. Then he's like, cool, let's do this.
Yeah, no, that was great. That was great. Adam Cole getting to be, you know, it is one of those things that like, I don't know why I have such a visceral negative response. It's nothing to do with it being Jericho. I just don't love the whole like, what a coward. He wouldn't protect his woman when she was being beaten up. Well, like the context of it is that you handcuffed him to the bottom rope and it was, there's like, I never enjoy heels cutting promos like that or talking about it where like they leave out valuable context. But I did appreciate that not only did Adam Cole get his revenge on Chris Jericho, but also Britt Baker got her revenge on him as well. It remains to be seen if the Outcasts are ever going to show up and be a part of the Yas story again, or if that was a one-off thing. I assumed it was a one-off thing, but everyone talking about how it was Jericho who masterminded it made me think maybe they were going to like join forces in some ways outside of it. I think Jericho's the perfect guy for Cole to have his first match back with. Adam Cole beats him. And then we just move on. I don't need Adam Cole to be locked in something with Chris Jericho for 6 months. But
I don't think he will. Perfect guy if he wins. Thing.
Yeah. Well, yeah. That is my feeling as well. That Jericho will set up something for Punk instead.
I thought this was great. Like they had to pull Adam Cole off, and then backstage, Jericho gets smacked by Britt, and she rips the shirt as well. I thought that was a really, really great approach.
Yeah.
Orion Ben says back-to-back weeks, AEW had SRS and Will. Who's next? Stay tuned to FightfulSelect.com. But I just want to say Roderick Strong looked incredible. And this kind of carries into the Saraya defeating Willow Nightingale thing. First off, great to see Saraya in one-on-one action on TV in a weekly setting. She gets the win. Tony Storm was killing me with like, she was like the Mario ghost. Every time the ref would turn around, she'd start kicking again. And then every time the ref turned around, she would just stand there.
Yep.
Yeah, the match was what it was, but this was a catalyst to get white suit Sheeta back in the fold, Alex.
Yep.
And that, you know, that helped, that adds to Britt Baker, Jamie Hayter. We see firmly what side she's on. I'm so very glad to see Sheeta back.
I confess to having been worked for about 4.5 seconds. When she comes down and she's got the kendo stick and she stands there and then she hugs Saraya and Tony and Ruby, I was like, oh, that's a swerve. Because everyone assumes Hikaru Shida's coming back to be part of the homegrowns. But she was hanging out with Saraya and Tony Storm a few months ago. So maybe they're still friends. And then I go, no. Because there's nobody more homegrown in this story than Hikaru Shida. And as I said that to myself, ah, now she's totally going to turn on the outcast. And she did. And it was great. It was actually a really good swerve. It didn't overstay its welcome. It allowed you to be worked by it for a few seconds. And just as you were putting everything together, they did the swerve and had her attack them, or at least had the Brit and Jamie crawl up from underneath. This is good. This is the first real moment of progressing this story in what feels like a long time. Hikaru Shida firmly on the side of Brit and Jamie, of the homegrowns. We're moving further and further towards, I think, what we all assume is this, the eventual women's blood and guts match. I just don't know how much longer we have before we eventually get there.
We've got quite a few super chats about this. Small Snippet of Life says it took Will 40 minutes to get Shida on TV.
I love that.
I do know that. I mean, I don't think that it was a Will pitch, no. But I know that Will was very excited to see Shida back.
Will's very pro Shida.
And C says Will's first day on the job, he got Shida back. Arduit says Will's first show and Shida shows up. Coincidence? I think not. Dungeon Master of Puppets says Shida returns. The Will Washington effect. Listen, in my experience with the Tony Khan,
yeah,
I wonder how he would react if Will did even sarcastically get credit for all the good stuff too.
That would be really fun.
Kevin Steet says, man, that Shida spot almost had me fuming. Great that she is back. It is great that she's back.
Mm-hmm.
House of Black promo. Sawyer says, AEW continues a banger streak since Revolution. Briscoe Farm. Sammy watches the product and that damn open house promo. Congrats, Will. What did you think of the House of Black promo?
This is my everything.
Right.
House of Black as the trios champions, they haven't felt like, this is the thing. And I feel like, Will Washington is the kind of guy who would think like this. Okay. So not everybody is a champion the same way. House of Black has such a different feel to them, such a different aura. They should be a different kind of champion than anybody else before or after. So now them coming out and basically saying, okay, welcome to the open house. It's house rules. And them being able to say, okay, so here's how it is. 20-second countouts in our match. Oh, any three competitors can join together to face us. We don't care if you're a trio or not. Just three of you. Come down to the ring and face us. 20-second countouts, because you're not going to run away from us. We will beat the hell out of you on the outside of the ring. No rope breaks, because you can't escape from us. DQs are enforced, but also dealer's choice. You get to pick a rule in matches against us, because even if we let you sway the everything in your favor, we'll still beat you. I love that for them. I think it's so great. And we'll see in the trios battle royal, there's awesome ways of getting into this. I think it'll be 4 or 5 matches into the whole open house, welcome to the open house era of the House of Black, before we even see somebody sniff beating them. Like, you get to pick a rule and we're still gonna trounce you. Like, this should feel like a faction defining reign as trios champions. Up until now, it hasn't felt like that. Like, this, I feel like, could be something really, really great to beat all these teams who come and face them. I want them to also do it often. Like, not they've had like one match every 6 weeks as a trio. Like, it's got to be more often now. I love just guys stepping up and getting put down, and they move on to the next one. And by the time they actually find a team that really challenges them, then we know we've got our first real big, long feud. I'm very excited about it.
You said it a lot better than I possibly could. But also, the BCC promo, I love that Brian Danielson still calls Wheeler Yuta a little shit. Like, I think that's fantastic. This was good, bare bones, effective stuff that I come to expect from BCC.
Yeah. Yeah, it was great. Danielson's dig at Bret Hart was very interesting. But I also, I love when Danielson is heel, because he always says things that you can agree with philosophically. The idea that somebody 30 years ago could call themselves the best that's ever going to be is incredibly arrogant. There will always be people who surpass those before them. That's just the nature of time and people learning from the past. And I love that Danielson is honest and says, I'm the best in the world right now, but I know for a fact there will be somebody in the future who will be better than me. And when you have a heel who's, the way he says it is dripping with bile, but he's right. And he's, and like, we can all agree with the philosophy of the people from in the past. We progress as a society. There will always be wrestlers in the future that are better than the present. It's a really great thing. And also Moxley just doing amazing work as he's just so great. I'm very, very excited for all that is encompassing this BCC versus the Elite feud. I'm very, very excited about it.
We got a super chat from Shot Kids saying heel Brian is the a-hole you hate to agree with. Yeah. Yes, I mean, and yes, so often he's proven to be like right and true as well.
Yeah.
Which is always interesting to see. We got the Kenny Omega promo as well. I loved how serious he was doing this. Yeah. I thought that he needs this sometimes, and this was a good serious edge to him, especially when you're working BCC, you got to show that serious edge. It can't be all fun and games in that scenario. And I thought he played this off incredibly well.
I did too. And I loved Callis's part of this too. Every day I look in the mirror, I see this. I see what you did to me. And that makes me angry and makes me hate you even more. It's good stuff. But I love the wrinkle of this. There's always that wrinkle. Like, I'm not saying they're definitely going to do it, but they can always come back to, once you bleed with the BCC, then you'll be welcomed into our ranks. I mean, I'm not saying Don Callis is going to turn on Kenny in the Bucks.
I know.
But I'm saying if he did, you have that thing that they've always said, you have to bleed with the BCC to be accepted into their ranks. And Don Callis did. So did Takeshita. So there's always that thing there. It's always possible.
He bled, Takeshita bled. I'm looking at this and I'm like, ooh, all right then. Mm-hmm. All right then. Wardlow defeated Logan LaRue. I don't think there is any relation to Lash LaRue.
I don't think
so. But Christian Cage challenges Wardlow afterwards. Hell yeah, first off. Hell yeah. Can't wait for this one. Wardlow crushing people weekly. I'm cool with that. Just have it lead to something else. You have the quick squash match, then you set up to the actual match. Why not? I say,
I love this too. Where Wardlow calls out Luchasaurus because he assumes that's the thing we're gonna do, and Christian says, "Oh no! The title shot isn't for him; it's for me." And that's great too, because even though it is a title shot for Christian Cage, you know Luchasaurus is getting involved, and there will definitely be big old Hoss versus big old dinosaur battles coming down the pike, and we'll be better for that.
Reminder, guys, get in your super chats, get in your humper chats. We would greatly appreciate that. Oh, Alex, I loved this vignette, this video. I didn't like what emerged from the video.
Yep.
And I actually felt like we'd be on the same page, even though you are a pretty notorious Lethal and Jeff Jarrett hater, understandably so. I don't want to see them wrestle a match at the pay-per-view. This would have been great on Dynamite or Rampage, and it would have been suitable, whatever. But I don't need to see FTR versus these two at the pay-per-view. I'm sure FTR are probably like, hell yeah, brother, one of those, but I'm not. How you feel?
Yeah. I thought this was fun and harmless, and the best way for me to.
I'm talking about the match specifically before
we get to the segment.
Yeah.
The match that comes out of it. Listen, when Jarrett beat Dax, this is what I was afraid of. And then when I heard, because I didn't watch it, when I heard that Lethal had beaten Cash, because it was on, I don't know what time it was on, noon. I have no idea what time Rampage was on Friday, but I couldn't watch it live. But I heard that he had beaten Wheeler, and I was like, that's what they're going to do. They're doing this at the friggin' pay-per-view, aren't they? They're because that's not how you build. I don't think that, anyway. I don't think that's how Tony Khan would build to just a regular Dynamite match. He's using them to the pay-per-view, and unfortunately, that's what they're doing. I don't know, man. I understand that especially Dax, but also Cash, are big time old school wrestling fans and are over the moon to be able to wrestle against Jeff Jarrett and Jay Lethal at the pay-per-view. This is not what I want to see. It's their first pay-per-view match back as champs. We can assume, please, that they're going to retain and then they'll move on and they'll do other things. Maybe they're going to do the thing CMFTR if CM Punk comes back. There's stuff that they can do there moving forward, but yeah, no, the announcement of the challenge, which of course you assume FTR will answer the challenge, just made me just very sad.
The segment was freaking incredible. You've got this unusual friendship with Jeff Jarrett, Jay mm-hmm. Lethal, Sanjay, and Satnam, and they show up at the Briscoe farm to help him do some manual labor. I mm-hmm. loved Jarrett on the mower and also Jarrett teasing playing Alone with My Baby Tonight, which he can't mm-hmm. play.
Nope.
Papa Briscoe comes over and he's like, watch out for these guys. And they acknowledge the fact that they already know Jay Lethal. They've known him for years, mm-hmm. but Jeff Jarrett's a carny. Giant Satnam just grabbing babies and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
This was a phenomenal video.
Yeah.
Phenomenal.
Shirtless, overalled Satnam Singh. Biggest pair of overalls since Haystacks Calhoun. I don't know if you can buy those off the rack for a fella 6'5". That was fun. Sanjay Dutt being just smaller, but also shirtless in coveralls. This was fine. There was nothing wrong with this. Listen, if you ask me, okay, you have to watch Jeff Jarrett and Jay Lethal and Satnam Singh and Sanjay Dutt every week. How would you prefer to watch them? Oh, making a fool of themselves in a pre-taped skit is definitely something I would pick over watching any of them wrestle. This was all fun. I will admit to smirking when I saw Giant Satnam holding baby like this. That was fun to me. I don't love where this is going. I did appreciate Papa Briscoe showing up and everybody like, oh no, Papa Briscoe is going to be mad at us. That was good too.
Love that stuff. This was just such a fun segment. We got a few super chats about this one. Make sure you guys get them in. Shot Kid says, I understand the fatigue with Jarrett and Lethal, but them at the Briscoe farm sold me on the tag title match. Gold. Sanjay and Satnam need to keep the coveralls through Double or Nothing. Okay, well, that would be funny. I would like that if they wore like hillbilly gym gear for a while. But I don't know that I needed it to lead to Double or Nothing.
Right. And that is a major, major date in the calendar for AEW.
Brent Lockman says farm is called them birds. And Chi-Town Spur says this is a great episode. Will Washington, Booker of the Year. Horrible week for the Alex agenda as Jarrett majestically driving the tractor was cinematic. The Alex agenda. I love that. Mm,
I do have that.
Jake says, will booking Jeff Jarrett's title match at Double or Nothing, or will booking Jeff Jarrett's title match at Double or Nothing, Booker of the Year, when you think you can't love him anymore? Mm-hmm. Well, I'm also excited for the firm deletion on Friday. I think the ingredients associated with this can make it one of the best ones that we've seen.
Should be a
especially
lot of fun,
like
yeah.
Stokely and Zay. I look at these and I go,
yeah.
Ooh, this could be a whole lot of fun. So I'm actually going to tune in early and watch that.
Yeah.
But got Ricky Stark defeating Juice Robinson clean. This was a hell of a match. This was just, they were just going at it, man. And these are two guys that you look at and you watch them work, you hear them talk, and you go, okay, they could be a lot more than what they are. They are this very unique area of AEW where they could, I think they could both easily explode into the upper mid card, the main event level scene. Mm-hmm. But right now it's kind of monopolized with MJF. Like he's got his thing and they've got four guys they're elevating to the main event right now. Mm-hmm. So no problem with these two bubbling under, but Juice Robinson was bumping his ass off. Especially that spot off the stair area.
Mm-hmm.
This match was killer, Alex.
It was great. That's why I got so excited when Juice Robinson showed up out of nowhere to attack Ricky Starks. I was like, their eventual match is going to be a humper. I'm looking, it's great. And then after that whole thing, as they were like hip deep in that feud, then they added Jay White to the mix. That's some good stuff as well. So I thought this was excellent. I love the spear and then immediately going for the Rochambeau. I'm very pleased to see these guys tuning in this kind of work. Ricky Starks is, I think, one of those guys that could benefit the most from a split roster.
Sure.
Because when everybody's on Dynamite, somehow he just can't quite break all the way through to the top. I thought he had a really great program.
Where the hell is Action Andretti?
I don't know. I mean, I don't know if he's, I don't know what's up with him. You're the scoopster.
Chilling. Bill says, here's for the new microphone.
I thought that, I think that there's a really great way. I thought what I was going to say. That I loved Ricky Starks' program with MJF. I thought that he absolutely proved he's the type of guy who can carry something at the top of the card. It was very early in MJF's reign. I thought it was some really good stuff back and forth. So him being, if the rosters get split, there's more of an opportunity for him, that cream, to rise to the top. And I think that he might be one of those guys who benefits the most from it.
Zach says, SRS, you should ask Will. I can't. Let me reiterate. Will is contractually prohibited from providing proprietary information specifically to us. Specifically to us.
Actually, Andretti apparently has been conscripted to the ROH ranks.
Well, yeah, I mean, he has been. He's done some indies and stuff like that. Like, I know he has been. I'm just like, where the hell was he tonight?
Right.
Bizarro Big L says, oh, actually, this is to the trios thing, so we'll get to that momentarily. We've got a few more super chats. Zach Schimmel saying, getting close to 2 years. Just wanted to say, no matter what wrestling you like, just enjoy wrestling. Everyone wins when you do. Hell yeah. Thank you to Dungeon Master for becoming a member on Fightful's YouTube. We are, like, for those that become members on YouTube, like, I don't promote that a lot, but a lot of people gift those. And I wish we could give Fightful Select memberships. I truly do. But I'm starting to release some like unused content from our 6-year history on these member things, like some unlisted videos that maybe we did for written features, things like that. Sawyer says, also for those in the back, Kenny referred to the pain BCC inflicted on everyone except Hangman. This is cinema. Mm-hmm. That is a good point. Pro Wrestling Podcast says, Will, that is all. We got a bunch of Sheeta. Sheeta super chats again.
Good.
We've got Zero Prime saying, wish we could see full pics of House of Black's new belts. Also, as Hikaru Sheeta fan, Will knows what's up. Will Washington booked Sheeta to get to the champion again in front of crowds. I would imagine that is something that he'll push towards. I think Sheeta and Jamie Hayter in a top-level women's feud, ooh boy, that would have some slappers. Meet Normus says, Much like the great Will Washington, I'm a huge Sheeta fan. White suit, Sheeta, heel or face, whooping ass has me hosing myself down. The meat is titillated. You love to hear it. You really love to hear about titillated meat. Mm-hmm. Very few things make me happier than titillated meat, other than making sure that your own meat is manicured, Alex. Mm. And manscaped.com and the code Fightful will help get you there. Guys, it's 2023. Women or men in your life, I don't want you running around in the weeds like Jeremy and Joel. No, 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 no. They want you trimming it. And fortunately, Manscaped has all those tools that you need at manscaped.com and the code Fightful. Save 20%, get free shipping, and get 2 free gifts right now when you go there. But they have such an incredible deal, no matter what it is that you're after, whether it's ball toner, whether it's the hedge trimmer, whether it's their fantastic beard kit, whether it's their weed whacker, ear and nose hair trimmer. They have so many different options to take care of you in the bathroom, and it doesn't stop there. We're talking about shampoo, conditioner, body wash, all that good stuff as well. Manscaped.com and the code Fightful is just next level when it comes to keeping you clean. Absolutely love it. Everybody that tries it has rave reviews. It is legitimately the best beard trimmer, the most easily adjustable. You're able to use it with a quick knob instead of taking an attachment off, reattaching, vice versa. It's phenomenal. Go check it out. They got everything from boxers to formulation to tools to sets. Manscaped.com and the code Fightful. You're Julie Cutler now, Alex. There you go. Look at that.
Yep, there I am.
Excited to have Julie Cutler back on the post Double or Nothing show. We truly adore her. Thank you to 1LT Photo. Mike Lima says, not going to lie, Christian Cage is TNT champ. Talking about every dead dad every week would be one hell of a title run. And Will Washington is an S-tier hire for AEW. Yes, he is. Well, how do you feel about the possibility of Christian Cage as a singles champion in AEW? I would personally be in favor of it, given the right creative.
Given the right creative, absolutely. I think especially with his he's got his personal right hand of doom or whatever he calls it. Christian being the champion, and he's like, you know, he's got the dinosaur that can beat up people for him. Yeah. I think that you can make that work. I mean, the TNT title feels like it needs a decent length reign. Maybe Wardlow drops to Christian, then Christian's the one who has the decent length reign. But it feels like at some point, if not Wardlow, then the guy who takes it off of him has got to hold it for like 6 months at least, because it feels like it's been hot potato around a bunch.
Vasco says, so happy for Will. Sheeta is back. Dynamite was fun. Dream Ninja says, Will is all elite the same day Sheeta comes back. Coincidence? Very happy for Will. We got legitimately like 15 super chats tonight about Will and Sheeta.
Yeah, of course.
Anime Otaku says, we need Acclaimed versus Mogul affiliates ASAP. So the Acclaimed win the Trios Battle Royal. Was it a pretty match? Absolutely not. Hell no. It was abysmal, but I'm a sucker for battle royals, so I don't give a damn. I love a good battle royal. I love a good tag team trios battle royal, especially when it's not that awkward old style where one member gets eliminated and they got to go, hey, you got to go too.
Yep.
So I like that. There was not much to write home about, but I had mentioned last week, I think both to you and Kate on the respective shows that I did, felt like the Acclaimed and Daddy Ass were being primed for something in the trios division. Mm-hmm. Looks to be the case here, Alex.
Correct me if I'm wrong. It was stipulated that the winner of this gets a shot at the trios titles. Yes?
I believe so.
The Acclaimed is the perfect trio, the Acclaimed Daddy Ass, to be the first ones to go up against the House of Black with the open house rules, because they're a beloved babyface team. The Acclaimed were tag champs not long ago. They've got a pedigree to them. People will be, you know, hey, we love the Acclaimed. And then they get in this match with the House of Black, and the House of Black murder them. Like, there's a really great thing to, like, okay, here's the audience's first taste of the House of Black rules. And the Acclaimed come down, like, you have Max do a rap about the House of Black, and then they just get murdered. Like, there's a really cool way of, like, okay, so this is what we're in for? Every time a new sacrifice walks down the ramp into the House of Black, like, there's some really good stuff. Also, I love the idea of the Acclaimed having the first dealer's choice. Like, I don't know what Max and Anthony Bowens and Daddy Ass are going to pick, but I love that they get it. I think it's going to be a really good first showcase of the open house. Is something I have not been as excited for something sight unseen. Just after a promo about this in a very, very long time. I'm really looking forward to it.
We've got Bizarro Big L saying congrats to Will. Class act. Graps that he will be his legacy. Bowens, Penta, scissoring with no fear. Should Arn start a faction when Griff returns? He has Wardlow, Pillman, and Brock. Name ideas for the other members or other members. Appreciate you guys. Happy May the 4th to all. So I asked Brian Pillman, like, what happens when Griff comes back? Because he's teaming with Brock Anderson, and he really likes it. He's like, I don't know. I guess I'll have to decide which one I throw through a barbershop window. And now it seems like Arn Anderson's occupied with other things.
Right.
They have been very directionless with the Varsity Blondes, Brian Pillman, Griff Garrison, and Brock Anderson. They have been completely directionless for as long as I remember. But if you had to add another person to them, I would have a strong leader associated with them. Maybe to have them as understudies that do that, because it ain't Arn Anderson. Like, he ain't the one, I don't think.
No.
Michael Arinari says, when AEW airs Collision, how do you see the direction with talent? Would it be bad if we see talent from Dynamite show up on Collision? I don't think it'll be that strict. I really don't think it'll be that strict. But yeah, I think you're going to see people cross over as they become comfortable with it. Yeah. Our good friend Destiny FOMO says, seeing the tweet about Will during my stream made me step away for a moment to collect myself. My heart is full tonight. Congrats to Will. We love Will Washington. Well, we love Destiny FOMO too. She has always been incredible to us and just wonderful. And, you know, we love Will. We're so proud of him. Thank you to Zach Schimmel for gifting a YouTube membership. We have Jack Perry and Darby Allin interviews, and we had an MJF Sammy interview that was meant to be very cheesy and corny. What'd you think about that, Alex?
I love this is another thing. I feel like this is something that's going to continue under Will Washington. I believe that about him. Sammy being like, I went and watched back the last episode. There was nobody else in that car. Tell me the car's full. I can't come with you. What the hell? And then MJF immediately having a lie for it was so great. Like, listen, I'm really sorry. I should have told you earlier, but I've been having some back issues. And if I had to sit upright in the back of that vehicle, I had to lay down. I knew it. And I should have told you. And I'm really sorry. And I know you won't be my best friend anymore. And it was really great. It was really, really fun. But also, I always hate a wrestler hasn't watched the week before. Like, nobody else called them and said, hey, by the way, MJF was lying to you about something. I really loved that Sammy watches the product. I think that was a really cool little touch. And I thought this was a fun little thing. I'm excited to see now going forward, all of the little interplay between all of the guys who are going to wind up in the Double or Nothing main event.
We also saw MJF approach Jack Perry and had some words for him. He confronts Jack Perry, but he's like, you know, if you drop the good guy routine, you could be at the top. We led to the match. Darby and Jack Perry get the win over MJF and Sammy, which we knew was going to happen. And I can't wait for this absolute fuck damn slapping humper of a main event. Mm-hmm. I cannot wait. I know MJF's going to win. Big shocker. MJF's going to win the match. I don't care. Now, I would have saved the flying Canadian destroyer for this match. I think that would have been a phenomenal false finish, but I cannot wait. Cannot wait for this. Spencer, however, says, what a dumb ending. Sammy said, screw a one versus one. Well, he didn't trust MJF. He didn't trust him at all. How are you feeling about the match and the destination? Because we are getting this four-way main event, which I think is the first of its kind in AEW pay-per-view history.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think you're right. It's a perfect use of it. It is one of those things that I maybe Darby, but I don't think you would get an MJF versus any one of these guys one-on-one. Like, that wouldn't feel like a pay-per-view main event. But MJF versus all three of these guys in a fatal four-way absolutely feels like a main event for his reign. That's great. This tag match was a lot of fun. I really enjoy the interplay of MJF and Sammy. It's one of those things of like, I don't know how you get there after the fatal four-way, but I really like the idea of Sammy and MJF just hanging out and being buds for like a good section of MJF's title reign post like through the summer. Like, they really work well together, honestly. Like, their interplay is really funny. Them being beaten up and retreating to the corner to hug the guy, and then MJF does it after Sammy did it to him. That's really fun stuff. There were some good spots. I love Jungle Boy hitting the running forearm and laying there trying to cover the guy, but didn't realize that Darby had tagged himself in and has to frantically get out of the way so he doesn't get coffin dropped. I love that none of these guys trust each other. None of these guys like each other. And there's levels to how big of a babyface or a heel they are. There's nobody that's like, okay, well, these two guys are like, none of that. They're all very different. And they can all go in the ring. This is going to be a very, very good match.
I'm so excited for this main event. Like, from an in-ring perspective, MJF always delivers. He always delivers, like in big matches or otherwise. Like, sometimes on TV, he'll have like a really good like WCW 1993 mm-hmm. Saturday night match, which I friggin' adore.
Yeah.
But then, like, when he got in there with Darby Allin, oh boy, he had a point to prove. This is going to be something special. What did you think of the mashup theme, which the mashup Sammy was very fun. Excited about?
The mashup thing was very fun. I honestly, if you got Mikey Ruckus around, I wonder how many guys he could do that with. You know what I mean? That could be really, really fun. I'm excited to see if they do that anymore with other people who wind up being a tag team for a while. That was good. I like that a lot.
Vicky L says, hello, Sean and Alex. Your integrity is to be commended. Darby quoted Sting tonight. Will they involve him in this four-way? Will he be at the pay-per-view? Help SRS. It's hard for me to believe he wouldn't be at the pay-per-view, at least to make an appearance or something like that. But I don't know if he'll be necessarily involved. And thank you for the very kind words. How are you feeling, Alex? You think we get Sting involved at all? He did show up in this program earlier.
Yeah,
I mean, in this feud earlier.
Yeah, like they did mention that, and I don't know. I don't know exactly. Maybe he wind up being at ringside or something, but I don't know who he's. Usually, Sting would be there to counter somebody,
and that's what I was trying to think too. Like,
very separate from the JAS, but it doesn't mean he can't bring them back in as we get closer to the feud. And like, if Daddy Magic and Ange Parker are down there with Jake Hager and Sting shows up, those three guys are running for
mows them down.
Yeah.
Just mows them. Hell yeah. That's what I like. And he does punch, punch, chop, punch, you know, all that's outside the ring. Get him the hell away from the ring. Cause there's no DQ, I would presume.
Yeah.
Shot Kid says, I need a proper Max Sammy tag team after Max's title run. They give off prime ENC vibes from their run in 2000, 2001, and I love it. Oh, I think that one day down the line, whenever MJF is like out of the main title picture, him and a tag team will be fantastic. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I loved the Cody program because I so desperately have wanted a New Age Sting and Luger 96.
Yeah.
That was such a great era of WCW tag teams. You got Harlem Heat, you had the Outsiders coming in, you got the Nasty Boys rolling through there, the Blue Bloods, just an unreal number of talent. But you had Sting and Luger primarily competing as a team. Sting was a babyface, Luger was a heel, and he knew that Luger was an asshole, but it was his buddy. It was his buddy. But then as things went on, he's like, why are you getting me mixed up with the Road Warriors? Why are you picking fights with them? What is this? Like, it was such a fun time. And I thought that MJF and Cody could do that. But, you know, they pulled the trigger on that a little early, I thought. And I feel like they could have went with that much longer based on what they did afterwards. Mark says, seems like there's a good opportunity for Luchasaurus to help Christian win and be the gatekeeper for the title shots. Christian doesn't have to wrestle much. And it's actually a showcase Luchasaurus week to week. Eventually, Luchasaurus can turn on his master. Yeah, I'm completely okay with that. And they've got so many damn titles in AEW that I don't think you have to have it defended a ton. Orange Cassidy is, every time he takes a breath in or out, he's defending that damn title. So you can have other ones that aren't as defended.
Yep.
Christian says, hey, Sean and Alex, this is my weekly question asking if All Out is still planned for Chicago. Also, favorite sandwich toppings. I love that he always just throws that in.
Yep.
The last I heard, it was still planned. Sandwich toppings. Okay, so I can tell you what I'll give you what I eat at Subway. I eat a sweet onion chicken teriyaki. Okay. I get spinach, green peppers, tomatoes, and sweet onion sauce. How about you, Alex?
Today I had turkey and roast beef.
Okay.
With mayo, mustard, lettuce, extra tomato.
Extra tomato.
Yeah. I'm a tomato guy. I like that little burst of flavor.
Does it ever like burn your mouth up? Like you get the sores and all that stuff?
No, not at all. Like I know there are people who have that. Like my mom has that with pineapple and I love pineapple. And I know there are people who have that with tomatoes. I don't. Like, that doesn't have it with me at all.
Yeah, things that are a little too acidic for me, and I love them, but.
Yeah.
Them's the breaks. Throwback, our good friend popping in to say hi and get my AEW info from here. It's been the worst day ever. It's almost as bad as my mom passing. Thank you for both cheering me up over the years. AEW and Fightful are awesome. Throwback, my friend, I'm sorry to hear that. You have always persevered incredibly, so I appreciate you, my friend, and I hope that things get better. We love you, my friend. Stay as positive as you possibly can. Somebody says I might be allergic to tomatoes. I was as a child. I took my allergy shot, so I probably like really developed that that thing. Suspect 333 says, Alex, what were your thoughts on TK putting that ESPN journalist on blast? I appreciate everything you guys do, and congrats to Will.
I mean, listen, if the guy's got his facts wrong and he's out there just definitively telling people as an ESPN-backed journalist, oh, this thing is correct and it's not, well, then TK shutting him down, I don't really have a problem with it.
Puzzling and easily verifiably incorrect. Exactly. And I mean, WWE often feeds information like this, including to a guy who got ran the fuck right up out of here this week. But I got, and Mike Coppinger is not in any danger of like losing his job or anything, but please guys, these PR companies will not be here for you when you lose your job. For anybody coming up that are allowing themselves to just run anything that these companies say, they will not help you when you go and lose your job. They ain't bringing you in. And this was such an easily verifiable thing.
Yeah.
I was disappointed. I was very disappointed that somebody of that stature would just throw that out there.
I also love the, like, let's just say that the max they could do is 40,000 people.
Yeah.
And they sold 35,000 of that in a few hours. I mean, wouldn't that also be considered a win? That they sold like 7/8 of their available tickets immediately? Like, I don't know. It's just ridiculous.
And they exceeded that number within the day.
Right, exactly.
Just Ender is right. It's a very silly thing to burn credibility
it
for.
It is. It really is.
Why put it on the line for that?
I don't understand.
It is easier than ever. And this is some advice to people who are in the scoops game. It is, I'm sure it's very tempting for people to be like, oh, I can run with this or make stuff up or vice versa. Mm-hmm. The way that we started and became the highest in volume and accuracy is I said, let me develop these sources. Let me cultivate these sources. I will go slow and steady. I will make sure our accuracy is second to none. Mm-hmm. And eventually volume comes with that. Eventually, yep. You become the go-to for people who want their story told. People who want their information disseminated in a responsible way. There is zero long-term gain in this game for making up news. There's no long-term gain in that. That's why when people, you know, you'll still occasionally have people that doubt media and wrestling media, and that's natural, whatever. I understand that. I understand the skepticism, especially when it comes from some anonymously sourced stuff and some pretty vague stuff. But I would like to think that if you go right now to the Fightful interviews tab, you are going to see probably over 500 wrestlers that were willing to get on camera with us and tell us information. And that's what I'm trying to normalize here. That way we can get grifters like just to the point to where they're completely taken unseriously and they're just dismissed. And you're just like, LOL, whatever. Meet Normus says, oh, and Brent Lotwin says, Fightful and Post Wrestling are the only ones I support. I love Post Wrestling. I just want to say this. I incredibly admire John Pollock and Wei Ting and how they handle things and their professionalism. Can't be me. I can tell you my personality type is not theirs, but I have an immense amount of respect for their professionalism and how they handle things. And again, we are categorically different in how we do handle those things. But I admire those guys so much. We got Meat Normus saying, Meat Normus is currently smoking chicken thighs and wings, bacon-wrapped shrimp and pineapple shrimp skewers. Which belt will Takeshita win first? I think the international title.
Yeah, I think that's a good bet. I think I love the idea of that title becoming a little bit more international after a long Orange Cassidy reign. I'm not saying that he's going to be the one to beat Cassidy, but I think that he will have that title.
I'm actually Meat Normus. I'm going to try to learn how to like smoke and cook some barbecue and stuff like that this year. I'm very excited. Got my pellet grill. Love it, man. C says, hope Kate's doing okay after her TikTok live. Seems like she was. I talked to her on the phone earlier. It seemed like she was doing good. She just wanted to clear up some misinformation around that Louis Dangor situation. And obviously... Mm-hmm. To address any of that, I had treated him very unseriously for about 2 years. I had deemed him unfit to be like associated with Fightful on the air. I think he appeared on some overbooked stuff, but we did not aggregate his news. It even on this very show or other shows when people would send in super chats and say, hey, what do you think about this report? I'm like, listen, they have a content partnership with WWE. I cannot take them seriously. I had reached out because I knew there were a lot of concerns, people saying that we coddled Louis and all that. I want to explain the approach towards Louis versus other people because I saw people compare him to Billy Batty, who is a bigot, threatened assault on me, threatened assault on women. Saw him compared to Zero News, who tried to get our site shut down, made fun of a sick and dying woman. Saw him compared to Brad Shepard, who is a bigot of every kind and an incredible sexist, to Alfred Conowa, who said horrible things about the Grapsody guys, tried to get a charity that I had been associated with and that we had donated tens of thousands of dollars to disassociate with. Before yesterday, we had no reason to meet him with haste in that regard. His news to me was almost to the point of parody, and I had no reason to not have basic human interaction with him. Obviously, the things that we found out and the way that he treated some people that matter an awful lot to us became known last night, and now I do not have a reason to have basic human interaction with him, whether it be positive, negatively, or indifferently. But dozens of occasions, anybody who watches our shows or subscribes to Fightful Select or follows me on Twitter has seen numerous times where I've debunked their news or said, what the fuck are you doing? Or said, I do not respect his work or his approach. But also, I had somebody that said, hey, well, I came to you about him asking questions in character at a press conference. I don't give a fuck about press conferences. If you want to start up a wrestling website called Wrestling with Donuts and ask in-character questions about donuts, I'll think it's silly and stupid, and it wouldn't be my approach, but it's your time. You can do with it what you want. I'll roll my eyes at it, but you know what? It's your own thing. I don't care about that. I care about how people are treated interpersonally and feeling safe in this type of environment and this type of space. And that is what, that's where I drew the line. As far as wrestling takes and all that stuff goes, I don't care about your wrestling takes. I don't care if you disagree with me, anything like that. I don't care if you're at AEW, WWE. I don't give a shit about that. I don't care about that. I care about how you treat people, especially if they are important to us and they're a part of our team or our community. And unfortunately, I wasn't aware of it, but you know what? I am not entitled to know everything about the 50 plus people that work for Fightful. They are deemed, they are free to having their own privacy and, you know, how they want to handle those things. And I will always respect that. For those of you who weren't comfortable with how we spoke with or to Louie, well, guess what? You ain't got to worry about that anymore.
Nope.
But before that, I had no reason to be at least a human being to people. And unless you're an outright dick or toxic in that nature, and I mean like a bigot or something like that, I'll generally treat you with respect. But the people that were often cited with Louie in that sense, a little bit different. However, now I just don't feel comfortable, but I did want to address that while we were on the air. Sorry, Alex, that you had to be here for it.
No, but totally fine. Like we worked together on a show weekly years ago. Only thing I got from that guy is he was consistently too big for his britches. Yes. That was the thing that was the thing I got from him. His attitude was off-putting. Consistently, like, okay, all right.
And that's why he lasted about a month and a half on the show.
That's right. And so, so to me, it's one of those things. If you are publicly a horrible person, then I will just not interact with you. If you are privately a horrible person and I don't know about it, but as soon as I do know about it, well, then now goodbye. But that's the best thing for me. Yeah.
See ya. Joel Pearl says Sean legitimately used Wrestling with Donuts for me in a conversation 2 years ago. Yeah, I mean, like, listen, this is my approach to pro wrestling. It's fucking pro wrestling.
Yeah.
There's going to be some largely unserious shit that we cover. I covered an Uno game backstage at Impact the other day.
Yep.
And I was excited to do it. It ain't all going to be hard-hitting stuff. Some of it will be, but it ain't all going to be. And because we run the outlet, we get to deem what we want to cover and how we want to cover it and all that stuff. As far as wrestling takes go, I know that there are some people that were like, oh, well, you treated his misinformation differently than Zero, for example. Well, you know what? I was also treated a lot differently by that person than I was Zero. And, you know, maybe I was treated that way because they felt like they had something to gain. But there's nothing wrong with changing your approach based on new information. And I will always make sure that people at Fightful feel very, very comfortable being here. I go out of my way to do that. And we love the environment that we have cultivated. And it's so funny because you'll see some people be like, those Fightfuls are so toxic. Then you'll do one little scroll down their timeline and they tell on themselves.
Yeah.
It never fails. Never fails. Guys, love you all so much. I just want to say again, I am so goddamn proud of Will Washington.
Yes.
I am so proud of that guy. He has done, this job didn't exist. They created this job for him. I actually saw somebody say, did he take Leva Bates' job? No, he didn't. This is a much more advanced role. No shot at Leva. She did a lot of great things there. But, Will, I know that you're watching this right now, live. You got to be watching this right now. You can't possibly be doing anything else. We are so proud of you.
It's true.
Please come back. Alex, tell the people where they can find you.
You can find me on the Twitter at Alex Sour Graps. You can find me on Fightful Select, reviewing Raw every Monday night after the show with Kate, reviewing SmackDown on Fridays, usually, maybe after the NBA playoffs. I don't know. We'll get back to Rampage. I don't know if that's going to be a thing anymore. Who knows what's going on? Dark's gone? Rampage? I don't know. But I'll be reviewing SmackDown on Fridays, at least for the time being, on Fightful Select. And on Tuesdays, reviewing NXT with Kate as they rebuild after losing a bunch of people who are currently champions.
Guys, thank you all so much. It has been a very long week. Tonight ended up being a very, very good night. We're back here. Spotlight on Thursday. Subscribe to FightfulSelect.com. We're out.
Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.